Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Hi again, it's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. And I said at the top end of this podcast that I'm an author, I'm not a counsellor, I'm an author of fiction, believe it or not. And you're probably wondering why I would get involved in such a podcast, a topic of sexless marriages. That's because a lot of my fiction is written around sexless marriages, predominantly based on my personal experiences in such a marriage. So I apply those things that I learned and things that I lost inside those narratives, and I added in some extra elements of spice. But today, I'm not going to talk about the books. I'm going to talk about you and your sexless marriage. How are you going? How are you getting on? Did you get laid in the last couple of weeks since I last talked to you? No? Well, that's sad. I have been there. I know what that is like. Constant rejection, opportunities lost, feeling low and devalued with every rejection. You don't feel close to your spouse. In fact, you don't feel anything. And you're wondering whether you're just more like best friends than lovers. I know some of you will be coming to the podcast wondering exactly what a sexless marriage is. And it's a very good question, because some folks haven't had sex in the last week and they get upset. Some haven't had sex in the last year, some not in the last 10. So what defines a sexless marriage? We've talked about it before on the podcast, but just because we got so many new visitors coming in and listening for the very first time, let's just give ourselves a definition of what a sexless marriage is. It's sex less than 10 times per year. So there are 12 months, and that would be less than 1.2 thereabouts times per month. Is that you? Has it been happening for a long time? And even though the definition talks about numbers, it doesn't talk about quality. So let's assume you are getting one sexual encounter, 1.2 sexual encounters per month. Is it a brief encounter? Is it fulfilling? No doubt, if you've been in a sexless marriage for a long period of time, any little bit of contact is a great thing. It feels fantastic. You're kind of gracious for the little tidbits of contact that you're getting, and then also frustrated afterwards because you know that it's going to be some time before you get another tidbit like that again. And that's what it comes down to when you're in a long-term sexless marriage. Okay, what are some of the reasons we can find ourselves sexless? One reason is tiredness. We're too busy at work. We've got lots of life issues to deal with. Perhaps we have a sick family member who we have to attend to every week. Perhaps our job applies pressures on us that doesn't give us much time to rest and recreate. Perhaps we book ourselves up with so many things that we don't actually give ourselves time to enjoy adult pleasures. We always put it on the back burner. By the time we get to a free weekend or a free night, we feel too exhausted to engage in sex. Another reason why couples find themselves into sexless marriages is children. They take up a lot of time and energy as well. And don't forget, they don't give you a whole lot of privacy. And then there are some health issues that can play a role in sexual starvation. Let's start with some of the physical ones. We'll talk about the mental ones very shortly. Let's say, for instance, your health is not so good. You've been ill, perhaps you put on a little bit of weight, and you don't feel energy levels that encourage that kind of activity to take place. That can also cause a dead bedroom to happen. Injuries that have been suffered anywhere in the genital area can cause pain and discomfort. That can lead to a sexless marriage. Injuries suffered at work can cause lifelong inabilities to perform sex. In fact, injuries in sport, work, even working at home, you can fall down, hit something on the way down, and do yourself an injury in a very private place that affects your life forever. For men, heart conditions, in fact any blood conditions, can cause erectile dysfunctions to occur, making it sometimes near impossible to engage in sex. And for the girls, there are any number of situations that can block the pathways to sex. Dyspareunia is a broad term. If you suffer pain on any level, inner or outer, it can be labelled as dyspareunia. Now, what are some of the situations that we can do to limit these problems? Well, obviously, if you have an injury, that's something you can't stop. Maybe you can work towards improving it. Talk to your doctor, your physician, find out if there's any medication or any particular exercise that might increase libido and help do some repairs to those areas that function as they do in the bedroom. When it comes to obesity, changing our diets and including some form of exercise regime into our weekly routines would help increase libido and our interest in sex. With dyspareunia, first I would suggest lubrication. If you don't have enough natural lubrication on hand, then you can always buy some from the local pharmacy. I encourage people to use it all the time, especially when you're in your 50s or so, or any time that you're rushing to have sex. It's a sad thing that you might have to rush to have sex after not having sex for such a long time. That's a very bad scenario, but some people have to do that because they've got so many busy things going on in their life. And if you have children and you're trying to sneak a moment here and there, sometimes all you can do is reach for the artificial lube to get things going sooner. It'd be nice if you could spend some time with each other and reconnect on a much more intimate level, but sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do. Busyness. Let's talk about that, because that was one thing that I had to deal with in my life. We had no health issues as far as I know, but we were both very busy. Too busy. In fact, so busy that it was purposely blocking sex. If you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, my spouse was asexual. I say was because we're not married anymore, so she probably still is asexual. It would be still the same. They say if you're born asexual, you're always asexual. So I believe she was asexual. And if you don't want to engage with your partner and you're asexual, one strategy would be to increase the amount of activity that you do outside the bedroom. So that would be hobbies, sports, committees, clubs, any interests that are outside the bedroom. So much so that you just don't have time to engage in sex. And it can be easily explained away as you're too busy. But what if you're not too busy? What if you have a holiday and you both have time together to explore new food, new cultures, new lands, or even just each other? In my case, we were always busy booking up time in our holidays. My spouse loved to book itineraries that were lengthy, no matter what amount of time we had away from our home. If it was 2 days, we'd have 50 different things to see. If we were away for 2 weeks, we'd have 150 different things to see. We were always on the go, even when we were on holidays. And it was a pattern of behavior that I became familiar with, probably around about the 4-year mark. It was always there, but I didn't want to accept it until about 4 years into our relationship, into our marriage rather. Maybe you have a spouse who likes to book things up. You end up doing far more things than you need to do, and you never get to the bedroom. Is your spouse one of those people? Always watching the clock, always building things into the calendar? Maybe you just have to tell them not to do that. And what do I suggest you do after that? Go to counseling. Have a professional person help you find the right words to speak to your spouse about the problem. Now, I can't guarantee that it's going to solve everything, but it may improve. At the very least, you'll have the right skills to communicate to your spouse about the issues you feel. Whether they take up the challenge and change their lives to suit you is another thing. Hopefully that would happen. What a happy story that would be. Is that the happy story you're after? If you are looking for that kind of happy story, why don't you drop me a line? You can come to my website at michaelformanwriting.com. That's where I keep my books. It's also where I keep my ideas about the stories I write around sexless marriages. You can also drop a line here on wherever you picked up the podcast. It's on Spotify. That's the main one, but it then gets redistributed amongst all the other podcast apps that are out there. So maybe you'd be able to put a like or track me back down at michaelformanwriting.com and send me a message. Is that what your relationship is like, or do you have a health issue that you're trying to deal with? What steps have you taken to try and improve your sexless marriage? I tried a number of things. Counseling was one of them. We did that for 4 years. We did it for another 2 years before that, off and on. So you could probably say about 5 years of counseling, and it never got us anywhere. The story is a whole lot more complicated than that, and we didn't have any children. If you read the book Seethings, Seethings, you'll find a lot more about how sexless that relationship was and how we managed to get into that particular relationship profile from the beginning. It's in fiction, and that's to protect the guilty parties. There are a number of guilty parties involved, as well as some entertaining aspects of a story that I added for creative license, because basically talking about how you're not getting laid lasts for about one page, and I don't think the wider reading market would appreciate a story wholly and solely based on, woe is me, I'm not getting any sex. There are a lot of people out there who are unhappy in their marriages, not just for the sex. Sometimes it's for the power, sometimes it's for the control, sometimes it's for other elements. They don't like the in-laws, for goodness sakes, or they don't like the neighbours, and they're having a really tough time with the kids. They don't really want to hear about that in fiction, because they get that in their lives. I wove it into a murder mystery story, but it's more a psychological thriller than a murder mystery. You'll have to read it to find out. Now, currently it's available on smashwords.com. Smashwords.com. You type in the word seethings when you get to smashwords.com, and you'll find me, Michael Forman. There are two books available at the moment to be read. There will be another one very shortly, and you're welcome to download a copy of the first one for free. Absolutely for free. And you will be amazed at what happened in that marriage. You'll shake your head and go, there's no possible way I would have ever gone down that path. But we all find ourselves going down that path. If you've come to this sexless marriage podcast, The Dirty Rabbit Hole, and you relate to this content, you're already in a situation you didn't want to be in. It's kind of why I called it the rabbit hole. And the dirty part of it is, what do? You can't clean it up. You're in a mess. You're in a psychological rabbit hole, and you can't change it. And the reason why you can't change it is because it takes two to tango, but only one to stop the dance. The person who doesn't want sex controls the sex. If you want to dance, and they don't want to dance, then you both don't dance. That's terrible. Now, you might be able to live with that for a week or two, perhaps a month or two. But if you have to live with this for months on end, years on end, and some of us it's been decades since we've had physical contact with our partner, you've got to start asking yourself the question, why am I still here? How did I get myself here, and how did I get myself out? What screwy thing happened in my life? What did I do wrong to find myself in this position? Because I tried very hard not to get myself in that situation. I don't know. I'm only speaking for myself, of course. You might not have tried at all. Have a look at yourself. Did you try? Could you try something else? Could you try harder? If you go to a counselor, at least they'll be able to give you an idea of where you're at in your relationship, whether you did try hard enough. Of course, your story will be your story. How you tell your counselor that story will be entirely up to you. But I know, in my heart of hearts, most of us out there have worked pretty hard for our relationships, and we never signed up. 99% of us never signed up with the idea that our marriage would become sexless. How do you get yourself out of it? Have a think about your diet, your health, and then also your mental health. If your mental health isn't good, then your sexual health won't be good either, because the brain is the biggest sexual organ of all. I know guys will tell you a different story, but literally, if our heads aren't in the right spot, then sex doesn't happen. If the women don't have their heads in the right spots, then sex doesn't happen either. So your mental health has got to be good before your sexual health can improve. And once again, you have to decide if your mental health is wavering, or maybe your spouse's mental health is wavering. Both of you are probably going to be influenced by one or the other. So it's well worth to talk to a professional. And I wish I was a professional, because the amount of times I talk about using a professional to help you in the bedroom would be incredible. I'd make a whole lot of money out of it. I'm just an author of fiction who happened to have a very significantly sexless marriage for a period of time in my life and decided to write a story about it. I'd love to be able to make money out of the counselling, the amount of times I mention it here on the podcast. But yes, I do think a professional is important, because a third party will be able to gauge whether you are right about if you've got a mental health problem or if your spouse has a mental health problem. If you've been married for 10 years or so, any problem that you've had has developed over a long period of time, and it's very easy for us to get lost in amongst all of that noise and activity and routine. We don't actually see the problem for what it is. We know something's going on, but we don't know how far down that rabbit hole we've managed to dig ourselves. So I always encourage people, first and foremost, to try a counselor. You can get divorced if you really want to. You can break up, or you can hang in there for as long as you like, suffering on a daily basis. But I always say, seek professional help for both of you so that you get a good perspective on what's been happening in the relationship. And try and not argue and accuse people in the room if you can do it. It's not easy to do because, you know, if you're sexually frustrated, sometimes you're mentally frustrated as well. And I know in my situation, I couldn't hold my tongue. And eventually the truth had to spill through my lips. I had bitten my tongue for such a long time, I didn't know exactly what to say. So when I finally got angry about the situation, real words and real sentences about how I felt landed on the table in front of us, and it was awfully terrible. I would have hated myself at the end of those conversations. But I can tell you that it took 7 years before they came out. And I'm thankful they did, because it made me realize how far I'd fallen into that dirty rabbit hole. Well, that's it for today's podcast, folks. I'm really glad that you came past and had a bit of a listen. If anything ticked any boxes for you, drop me a line at michaelformanwriting.com. michaelformanwriting.com. I'd love to hear from you. What your sexless marriage was to you, what it is to your partner, where you think your future is, where your past has come from, or if you've been able to find any strategies along the way that have worked and have failed. I put a podcast track together every 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks, so that I can talk to people like yourself about the issues relating to sexless marriages. You might be wondering, was it a happy ever after for my relationship? That'd be a question that would be running through my head every time I listen to a podcast like this. Yes and no. No in the sense that my former wife and I got separated and then divorced, and life got better. It was a tragedy, of course, but life got better almost immediately. At least I wasn't lying beside someone in a bed who didn't want to have anything to do with me. That did my head in. It's probably doing your head in too. You know, look, you roll over and you look at them and think, who is this stranger beside me? Why do I even climb into bed beside them? That's what I was doing every day, every night. And it didn't matter whether we were at home or somewhere else. I'd always look across that short distance, which looked like such a big void. And I wondered why I was lying beside her. Why am I there? And eventually I moved out of the room, went into our second room, and that's when it all fell apart. She said, I don't think we need to be married anymore. To which I agreed, because I believed there was no difference. For me, there was no difference sleeping in one room as opposed to the other. We weren't having sex in one room. We can have no sex in two rooms. And I said that to her, and she thought I was being insulting, and of course I was. But it was honest. It was absolutely honest. And we decided to get divorced. And I went away, got my head together, and I found a new lady. She didn't think she was ever going to find anybody in her lifetime. So she went about her business as a single woman. And then I came along. We had very similar backgrounds, and we hooked up, and we've been together ever since. In fact, I've been together with my current partner longer than I ever was married. So that gives you a bit of an idea. But I thought I'd revisit the story of a sexless marriage, because it's still pertinent. There are a lot of people out there hurting. And some of us who know we are in a sexless marriage won't even admit to being in a sexless marriage. Some of you will find this podcast and relate to it, and others will just drift on by, counting the days until they basically die, I suppose. Just remember, it can always rain on your parade. See you next time.